I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson is excused. Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we turn to the citizens' commentary, I'm just going to do a quick proclamation for an outstanding young gentleman that we have here tonight. I've already given this, and I think County Supervisor Taylor gave a proclamation too the other day at the church. Is Luke a manager?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Got a couple of merit
badges.
We have a proclamation for this young gentleman. And it says, whereas the conferring of an Eagle Scout is the highest and most coveted rank that can be bestowed upon a Boy Scout, where less than 6% of all Scouts in the United States achieve this goal, and whereas such award is an earned award that the recipient must perform and successfully complete and pass the rigid requirements exacted to achieve an Eagle Scout award, and whereas Luke Mathers has been in Troop 532 for 7 years, has earned a total of 36 badges, and has served as patrol leader, assistant senior patrol leader, and troop guide. Luke also participated in the Centennial National Scout Jamboree. And whereas Luke's Eagle Scout service project involved planning and organizing the installation of a wooden footbridge at the Oak Creek Soccer Complex, that now allows athletes and their spectators to safely access the lower playing field from the upper parking lot, an idea he came up with after seeing the difficulty his own grandparents had getting to the field to watch him play. And whereas Luke's parents, his scouting leaders, members of the Eagle Scout Board Review for Troop 532, other family and friends, and the community are very proud of this achievement, now therefore I, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, do hereby recognize Luke Jameson Mathers on the occasion of him becoming an Eagle Scout and ask that all of the 35,000 citizens of the City of Franklin join me in congratulating him on this most outstanding achievement. Congratulations. If you wanted to say a speech or something. I think he's been through this before. All right, next item is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record.
Jasper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I'd like to talk about item number 15. First of all, I'd like the council to know that not one of you have ever heard me complain about my taxes, not one. And I never have, I never will, because I know we have to pay our bills. And so whatever the amount that has been stated that I should pay, I've always done it without complaint. But I would like to talk about item 15 and the John's service. Now, I've never had any problem with them at my house, don't expect to because they've done a very good job. However, one of the things that I have a problem with is no-bid contracts. I understand that they were awarded a five-year contract with no bids, no competitive bids. And so on top of it, we are getting some garbage cans that one of them at least would be pretty hard to handle. Now, I make no bones about the fact that my wife takes out the garbage 95% of the time. I don't argue about that because she does it because she wants to. Well, nobody my wife's size could carry a 96 gallon job. Now, I know that we can get other sizes, but I have one in my garage that has worked very well all these years. I have the blue box that has worked very well for my wife and I see no reason for paying $3 extra a year for something that I don't need. Now, it's a minor amount, But it bugs me when people tell me that I'm going to have to spend my money for something that I don't really need. And that's what you guys are doing, guys, including the lady. So my suggestion is you might not find a lesser bid anywhere, but at least try. Now, I'm very unhappy about this situation because of the fact that people have to call and tell you what size they want. Otherwise, they're going to be this one particular size is going to be foisted upon you. Now, that's how I understood it, and that's how I read the letter. So I would suggest that you guys reconsider this situation and send the thing out for bid, the job out for bid. And again, I have no problem with John's, but at least give us an opportunity to have the least amount of money that we have to pay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Good. Please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. Amy Moschel, I live at 8746 West Mallard Court. And I just wanted to talk again about the Meyer story. I know it's been talked to death. I'm just a little concerned that my alderman isn't here. There's going to be some issues brought up tonight with regard to the different ordinances and with regard to the hours and the size and all these things. And I guess, you know, he's supposed to be our guy. Unfortunately, he's on vacation, from what I understand. And I guess I just wanted to, again, repeat some of the things that everyone's been talking about, the hours, being a 24-hour store. I'm not thrilled about there being people brought into my neighborhood, which is two blocks approximately from the store, closed store. I'm not really thrilled about people coming in at night into my neighborhood, near my neighborhood, and the traffic. Of course, we've been talked to death again about the in and out on Putes, which is really a two-lane, very narrow, no-shoulder kind of road. And you know, neighbors like to go on that road and do a little biking or traveling to other neighbors. I'm a little worried about that. And then, again, of course, the fact that it's a very large store, repeating several things that are already very local, including a Target, several... you can say it's a Sendex, a Walgreens across the street, and I think it's just a little bit too big and too much for what we need.
Yeah, you should know that received your letter, and all the aldermen have a copy of it along with the four pages of petitions. About 20 people, I think, are coming. So they all have that.
My meager try, you know. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I just want to bring to your attention, the whole common council, that our parking lot still has all that debris of asphalt for the last 3 weeks now, and nobody's done nothing about it. We have a representative of the DPW here, and it's his job to keep that clean. The other time I mentioned the grass was all over the sidewalk. I can't understand why we can't have a clean-looking front end of the city hall. Excuse me. The other issue I want to bring up is this rock sports complex. The last time they met, they had all these procedures where they asked them if they notified the neighbors. They didn't. They didn't notify the people in Greendale. They didn't. I was surprised to find out that we were allowing Cajun to operate that ski hill without any water. The lady next door to him was saying that she was supplying water. This guy's using the water to make snow even. Where is our city ordinance? Where is our building inspector? Evidently, there is no water hydrant in that area. I went down through that road this afternoon. I don't see a water hydrant. We're going to have to pump it in, just like when Moss Farm burnt down the house. They had to pump that all. There is no water hydrants down Loomis Road at all. But going on with these issues, this man, Mr. Zimmerman, that's proposing all of this, he's going to have a building that he knows is going to sell. He's got material that's supposed to take the stresses and the structural changes. He didn't seem to even bring up the fact that there's no water. And how do you dispose of the sewer system in that kind of situation? And then they tell me that the gas that's coming out of there has been capped. Well, if you cap the gas from coming out the pipes, it must be saturated underneath there for an explosion. So I don't understand why we can't get a better information from this guy before he starts appealing to the court. I blame Mark and the planning department for not getting all this settled in time before they even present it to the people, the planning, or even to the common council. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Brett Belton, 8545 South Lake Point Court. I'm here to speak about the Meyer development as well, and I do share the previous commenter's concern that the only empty seat on the council tonight is the one who's supposed to represent us. So I certainly would ask the council members to please put yourselves in our position since our representative isn't here. I share the concerns about the development as far as the size and many of the other issues that others will bring up. I won't go into detail about that. But there are two issues with this that I think the council should consider deal breakers with the way that it's currently organized. The first is the 24-hour operation. I know for a fact that Meyer has other locations that close at 11 p.m. I realize they have many other locations that are 24 hours. But this is not 27th Street. This is not 76th Street. This is a residential area, and it simply is not a good location for a 24-hour operation. The second concern, and I apologize if I have outdated information here, but it's been difficult to get the up-to-date information. My understanding is that the DOT is still disallowing the right-in, right-out on Highway 100. Is that, I see you shaking your head, Mayor Taylor. Is that incorrect?
I believe that the right-in issue is being resolved. However, it's tied to the close proximity of Putes Road to that right end, so we're still trying to persuade them that they should see the world our way.
Okay, I guess then I would ask that any approval be contingent upon some access from Highway 100. Putes Road right now is a major access point for those of us that live directly off that road, and if that Putes Road entrance becomes a primary entrance rather than a secondary entrance, that would create a massive traffic backup. So I really think that some entrance off of Highway 100 has to be included as part of the project. I'll let others speak to the other concerns.
Okay. Just on the Putes Road issue, one of the things that we've expressed to the DOT, and I think Alderman Olson would join me in this, is that there's a plan for reconstruction of Highway 100 coming from the north and going south. And my understanding, maybe Alderman Scrassi can correct me if I'm wrong, it stops just short of that intersection. What we would like the DOT to do in their construction plans is to move that past Putes Road, so then the signalized intersection would be put in place much sooner than what they're projecting now. And you're dealing with large agencies, and so I think one of the last meetings, the one that Alderman Olson and I were at, and a number of other people, they said that when, at the end of it, that they needed to go back to Madison to talk to the folks in Madison. So,
yeah, it puts you guys in a bad position having to make your decision in advance of the agency's decision. So I just hope that your decision will include some contingencies to protect against those agencies making poor decisions on behalf of your residents.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, people can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a transportation expert, but I think it's the DOT that is the one that is insistent upon having access off of Putes Road. We're really trying to persuade them that that's not a good idea, but it's one of these bureaucratic policies that affects, Eagle, Wisconsin, Franklin, Wisconsin. We're trying to say, work with us.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hello, Tiffany Drahanovsky, 9545 West Putes Road. I'd like to speak on both the Myers development as well as the Rock. I'm very much in favor of the Rock. My son's there right now doing BMX bike racing. It's a fantastic development that will bring other business as well as opportunity for sports and students in the area to grow. Regarding the Myers development, I'm quite involved. My property is pretty much impacted a lot with the proximity. I've also done a lot of canvassing of other properties similar. I visited the Target in Oak Creek to look at the access point off of Howell. I noticed that the DOT is routing that traffic, the entrance to Target, primarily off of Howell, but there are no immediate residential driveways nearby. There's a church, there's some apartments set far back, and there's a park immediately behind the development. I've looked at a number of other areas, Delafield and some other areas that are about the same footprint as Franklin in terms of household income and things like that. And while I do see some consistency to what the DOT is asking with regards to the access point on Putes, it is simply not acceptable for the DOT to ask those of us who reside there to have three lanes of traffic exactly opposite our driveways. This is the biggest investment we have as individuals, is our private property. And while I've been pleased, especially since the last meeting, with the most recent plan I've seen, because it does move the access point for Myers west of my driveway, which to me is, it has to be, it simply has to be, because of the situation we have on record with DOT and the City of Franklin with regards to the safety issues. The DOT isn't necessarily being responsive to the neighborhood. I've driven through Hales Corners. I've looked at other areas that have the same type of highway situation my property has, both on Putes as well as on Highway 100, because I've got frontage on both lines. All through Hales Corners, you have turns constantly, right off of maybe 100 feet away from each other, and I just am really challenged to understand why it's such a problem. And I'd like to understand a little bit more about the process, because I've reached out to different people. Yesterday I was on a golf course and someone told me, hey, the Myers thing is off the subject matter for Franklin tomorrow. I'm like, how do you know that? That's kind of important to me. But I'm not getting consistent information, so I spoke with Joe Doodle today about the importance of being here or not. The DOT has had a big hand in creating the problems we as residents have on Putes Road with the traffic to our private driveways. I have personally stopped countless cars to ask them where the heck they're going. Why did you make the turn here? How could we label the streets more properly so that you're not lost? How can you have a GPS or an iPhone in your car and not know where you're going? It's my personal opinion that the intersection we're talking about, at the crossroads of highways, is built for truckers. I'm sorry, I pay taxes here. Those people don't. I'm in the trucking business professionally. You know what? The truck's got to go where the truck's got to go. But I think we need to do a better job labeling the streets, which I've asked the DOT to do. I've asked them to cut the left turn lane a little bit north, which they said they've found a way to do. I don't know exactly when that will happen, but that was the latest communication, because it was the initial impression to a number of residents and the DOT that the traffic was from the reconstruction of that intersection and folks leaving Walgreens. I can tell you from knocking on a number of car windows and for people stopping me as I walk my dog asking me for directions. They're looking for the soccer field. They're looking for Burlington. They're looking for all kinds of things. Franklin needs to do a better job of labeling Highway 36 so that people know where they're going and they can see that, geez, Burlington's not a block away. It's 15 minutes down the road. So I think it's a joint issue that we need to address. But I think we also really need to put in front of the DOT that no matter what their plans are, they really need to respect those of us who've made our big investment in living here, because we do want to patronize these developments. And what they've done at 36 and Loomis has actually made it more difficult to patronize those local developments. I don't want to see them think that whatever plan they've approved is perfect for every single area, because they really do need to look at those of us who've invested in spending a long, long, long time here and paying a lot of tax money to do that and give us a little bit of respect with regards to how they make those decisions. I don't have a problem with the access on Putes as long as it's not across my driveway. I do think it's essential and absolutely mandatory that we at least have some kind of right in or right out on the highway. It's built for that kind of traffic. Putes Road is not. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? And I told them that the labeling of the roads and the signage has to improve greatly. But you're correct. I think the council, all of us, have some responsibility in making the signage for 36 and for the whole city much better. Yeah, I know.
Good evening, Alderman and Mayor. My name is Don Dorson. I live at 8593 Lake Point Drive. There's a couple issues that I'd like to address tonight, one being the fact that Alderman Olson is not present tonight. Alderman Olson once called this intersection the most important intersection in the entire city of Franklin. If he truly feels that way, I know he wants to be here. And out of respect for the Alderman of the district, past practice has been that issues of this importance get postponed until the Alderman can be here. So on that grounds, I ask that you postpone this. Secondly, I think that there are several other issues that need to be addressed. One, the DOT. The DOT doesn't care about residential traffic. They don't care about business. They don't care about anything other than traffic. I've had a city planner tell me that, not our city planner, but another city planner. And I think past practice has shown that that's absolutely true. Passing this tonight sends a green light to the DOT, because then the applicant will take that and say, see, the city is in support of this. You need to help us out with this. And it gives them one more piece of ammunition to work with the DOT to get what they need. That will also be true with the Department of Natural Resources when they go for their exception. All of these things need to be done before you vote on this. Otherwise, it just helps the case that that continually builds up in favor of this project, because you've already approved it. The DOT, and Mayor, with all due respect, you said you'll continue to work with the DOT, and I don't doubt that you won't continue to work with them, but we see that we are powerless to get them to do things the way we would rather have them do it. Walgreens is a prime example of that. We wanted that turnaround maintained. We weren't able to even get that simple little thing of maintaining the turnaround into Walgreens, which would have helped Walgreens and would have helped the people in the neighborhood, who were unable to do it. You think we're going to be able to get them to change their minds on Putes Road, access on Putes Road? The other point I want to make is we continue to make steps backwards because of the piecemeal approach that we're taking on this project. The residents of the neighborhood have said that they don't want 24-hour operations in this facility. And rather than work with that and see some improvement where they're not operating 24-hour, according to Alderman Olson, the PDD includes language that says that they have unlimited semi-deliveries 24 hours a day. That's a huge step backwards. So not only are they open 24 hours to customers, they're open 24 hours to semi-traffic, which is going to be a lot of noise in that neighborhood, 24 hours a day. So again, by taking a piecemeal approach, I think you guys are allowing this death by a thousand paper cuts. Rather than taking it all at once, dealing with it all at once, and voting yes or no, rather than approving 125-foot exception, to approve that, what does that open the door for, even if this passes, or it doesn't pass, I'm sorry. It's step by step. Deal with it as a package. Yes or no, one way or the other. Thank you.
Don, just on DOT, we have, over the years, I asked a number of people what they thought about roundabouts, and I would say that, except for maybe Jack, most of the people were vehemently against it. The DOT had intended to have roundabouts all the way along Highway 100 and all the way along 27th Street. By continually lobbying them, we were able to get them to change their minds on all that. Just on this project, we asked that they follow the Crossroads traffic plan. And after much encouragement, we got them to agree to do that. So I think the continuing lobbying helped with, you know, Senator Lozick and Jeff Stone, and maybe we have to go higher up the ladder. I think it does help.
Well, and congratulations on those successes. I wasn't aware of those. But is it not true that now the DOT is saying that they want a primary entrance on Pukes?
I think, and again, this is just what I think I heard, is that whenever there's a local road that they can put in access off of, I think that's their statewide policy.
Right.
And what I'm saying, and I think what I just heard the speaker over there say, maybe you're saying, is, you know, one size doesn't fit all. We're Franklin, you know, maybe it's okay in Eagle, Wisconsin, but not here. This is different. So please listen to us. And,
well, then, as I suggested, postpone the vote on this until the DOT makes the determination, so we know what we're dealing with.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I just want to address Mr. Dorson's question about the truck delivery. I didn't recall what you said, and I read every single 600 page of this thing. And It does talk about 24-hour operation, you're correct on that. It does limit the pharmacy hours till 10 p.m. It also limits outdoor communication between 6 and 7 a.m. And it as far as truck deliveries and refuse collection, they're prohibited between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. Except for one truck delivery shall be allowed per night between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Thank you, Alderman. Well, as the woman before me mentioned, there's all sorts of conflicting information about this development, Alderman, and there's a lack of timely information as well. Our alderman sent out an email to me about 48 hours prior to this meeting. That's just not enough time to get the word out to people and to check facts. In his email, he said that the PDD allowed for 24-hour unrestricted truck deliveries to this development. Now, if the alderman doesn't have the facts right, then how do you expect the people to have the facts right? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
I have one quick question.
Yes. If you could, please state your name and address.
Sure. Amy Michelle, 8746 West Malicourt. I had a question about what you just said about the pharmacy hours. Is it the drive-through permit or the regular pharmacy?
The drive-through. Well, let's see. The garden center. The garden center and drive-through pharmacy hours of operation shall be limited to the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
So then the regular pharmacy is still open 24 hours?
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Hi, Terry Shearer, 8468 West Putes. Yeah, I do a lot of bike riding, talk a lot of neighbors, and both subdivisions. And a lot of people said they're not going to show up. They figure you had your mind made up already that you passed the 120 from 125 to 194. I said, for what? What's the sense going? So is that true that you passed or you got rid of the ordinance that we had? For Walmart, we changed 194. Is that true that you changed the ordinance to 194 square footage?
I think part of the motions that the council passed pursuant to this particular site had to do with 125,000 square foot ordinance.
And you changed it then, right, to 194?
Yeah.
You okayed on that?
But to address the larger issue, whether this is, I'll call it, a done deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying, what the neighbors are saying. That's why nobody's here. Nobody got the word out. Nobody knows nothing what's going on. We don't get nothing on mailbox. We get a little, tiny little email. You know.
The DNR, just this past week, sent us another letter, pretty similar to the other two letters we had received. Actually, it was to Myers, and we were copied on it. That basically says that Myers has not met the burden of proof in establishing whether they should get a permit from the DNR. So that's a very, very large issue. And you're hearing a number of people talk about DOT and the issues of us trying to work with the DOT. So the mere fact that we're continuing the dialogue with the Department of Transportation and that you have the Department of Natural Resources saying that Myers hasn't met the burden of proof would indicate that it's still wide open.
So you're not going to discuss nothing tonight? This is not a final approval?
Well, the council can discuss whatever they want to when we get to that point.
That's why nobody showed up. They figured you made your mind up already because they already changed the ordinance. I mean, you try to build a deck, it takes you a month to have inspections done. They did it for a few weeks. It's unbelievable what you can do when you got money. I mean, it's not we the people. It's we the corporation nowadays. They're running the place. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Yes, sir. My name is Jim Lucky. I live at 4925 West Rawson Avenue. That tells you I'm at 51st and Rawson. And I want to talk about something I went through about 12 years ago, and that was the widening of Rawson Avenue. It was a very significant project. We went from a two-lane road to a six-lane road, sidewalks on both sides of the street, boulevards, commercial development. Many, many things happened that very much affected us. And I was conflicted at the beginning of this whether I wanted to see that happen or not. I'm a strong believer in commercial development, but on the other hand, it was affecting me directly. And I just want to tell you now, 12 years later, I'm very pleased that that happened. Right across the street, I've got Sendix, a wonderful store to shop at, the CVS drugstore, I have a gas station that new businesses are coming in, and I've seen Rawson Avenue expanding. I look out, and I see people walking on those sidewalks that I wasn't sure I wanted in the first place, because, in fact, I have 200 feet of snow to cover, which is quite a lot of work. But I love that, seeing the kids out there with their bikes. I love to see the people out there. And I'm just very, very pleased with what happened 12 years later. And I'd like to see the same type of development in other parts of Franklin. We need it for the tax base. We just need it. And I want to address one other thing. It's this 24-hour. I work as a rep at Woodman's in Oak Creek. Okay, and it just is a quiet place to go to at late hours. I physically stock shelves, build displays, do things like this. And I go there at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And the precise reason I do that is because it's quiet and I could get things done. I don't see any real amount of traffic. I don't hear any loud noises. I don't see any of this, but people seem to be concerned about. So I do believe this is a project the City of Franklin should endorse.
Mr. Lucky, while I got you on the microphone, I don't get to do this often, but
okay.
Given that you're the president of the Historical Society for Franklin, I just want to extend my gratitude for all the good work that you've done and how you've really moved that Historical Society along. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Not. We'll close the citizens' comment period and turn to, let's see, regular minutes, August 7th, 2012. Is there any?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Boards and commission appointments. Alderman Timothy Solomon to complete streets and connectivity.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Oh, Alderman Wilhelm.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone got the document that was in front of us here tonight regarding the committee's recommendations for the positions. Is that something that everyone was able to
look
at?
Is your letter?
Yeah, it was my letter. I was directed by the committee to put that together and take their suggestions forward. So I just want to make sure that on the back page of the letter are the suggested positions.
Okay. And the appointments that you have in front of you are in harmony with the recommendations?
They are. With well, it doesn't complete all the positions, but it does fulfill the
okay. On any further discussion on Alderman Solomon? If not, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarowski.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. The next name you have is John Miklick.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skarowski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next name, I think I saw him in the audience, Greg Kowalski.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarowski.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Kevin Haley.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skarowski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the name of Kurt Bolton. Is there for complete streets? Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarowski.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. We do have there's a request for a short presentation by Jenny Vaughn from the 4-H Youth Recruiter regarding Area Community Club. I believe you were just in front of the ICC, in front of the mayors and village presidents last meeting with them.
Last month. My name is Michelle Gonzalez. I'm the 4-H Youth Programs Administrator for Milwaukee County UW Extension. Jenny will be providing the presentation. I'll be assisting her today.
Hello.
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 We're here today to tell you about 4-H
So in a perfect world, we can develop one club, one 4-H club, in each aldermanic district. 4-H is a youth development program of a land-grant college system across the United States. The program is organized throughout the University of Wisconsin Extension. 4-H is the nation's largest development organization with over 6 million youth. In your green folders that I passed out, there are PowerPoints in there. This is a short version, so you have all the information I'm saying. It just, my slides are going to skip a little bit through yours. So, 4-H is a community of young people across America who are learning leadership, citizenship, and life skills. Some examples of project or subject areas are art, health, science, also known as STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and zoology. The curriculum is research-based from land-grant universities. Our university is Wisconsin at UW-Madison. The curriculum is designed for anyone to be able to pick it up, understand it, and to teach it to youth. 4-H focuses on hands-on activities to help youth learn. We learn by doing. And there's a flyer in your folders that explain the experimental learning module about learning by doing and working hands-on. There's also a flyer right behind your PowerPoint also on the life skills and how 4-H relates to those life skills. This is a research from Tufts University. It's been shown that nearly two times more likely 4-H youth are more than two times more likely to get better grades in school, two times more likely to plan to go to college, 41% less likely to engage in risky behaviors, 25% more likely to positively contribute to their families and communities, and to be able to be standing up and having their own personal input and talking about their proofs or their views, such as on Points Road and situations that you guys were just talking about. Those are ways that youth develop. Trying to do this quickly, but also trying to do it clearly, ways that youth in 4-H develop and learn this type of administration and be able to put that out in their future, in their lives. Some other opportunities in 4-H are the Milwaukee County Fair, which I'd like to invite you to, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the last weekend of September. In your folders, almost in the very back on the right side, is an activities list. It's written on that under September. It's at Milwaukee County Fairgrounds, or State Fairgrounds, in the Horticulture Building. So we also have international travel, such as Japan and other nations. We have conferences, such as going to Washington, D.C., summer camps. We go all the way up to, we have a campsite, 4-H campsite at Wisconsin Dells, and other countywide activities that are held around Milwaukee County area. Our Milwaukee County 4-H Council promotes and supports a lot of activities that we also do around Milwaukee County. We specific festivals, competitions, assorted activities such as art and science, and our panel is one adult and one youth, ninth grade and up, to represent for each club. If they're available. Some clubs don't have ninth graders now. I also have on your PowerPoints the information. My name is not on there, but my business card is in your inside folder. And then, so this is other access if you'd like to get some more information. And I'll open up to any questions anybody has.
Okay. I know that Mr. Lucky's still here or not. But I know that I think you're trying to raise funds to put up a nice barn, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah.
You might want to talk to Mr. Lucky about how 4-H and the Historical Society could work together. It seems like it's a perfect match.
We've actually been very fortunate over the last, this is previous to my tenure, but there's been a 4-H club in the southwestern part of the county, Franklin, including Hales Corners, for the last 50 years, and actually it's our longest standing club, and they are looking for additional support for continued leadership and growth of the club. So there is one that exists in Franklin already. It's called the Franklin 4-H'ers. We call 4-H youth 4-H'ers. So that's where that comes from. But if you'd also like to again, develop another club in the community or others, that is also welcomed as well. We just wanted to let you know we're here and be available to assist you in any way.
You may also want to get in touch with Alderman Skaronski and the members of the St. Martin's Fair group. I don't know, what is it? It's about 250,000 people come to Franklin on a weekend, so you may want to look at having a booth or getting your product out there. All right, any questions, comments? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next item, G1, ordinance to create section chapter 15, 3.0442 of the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance, establishing plan development district number 37, the Rock Sports Complex. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I had a couple things that I wanted clarification on. I wondered what the out language is. I couldn't find anything in the ordinance that would allow us to not create the PDD should the county exercise their ability.
Mr. Deedle, I think she's asking you. Sorry. Let me just take a minute here. You say out language, you mean like a savings clause?
Right. Well, the out language that says we don't have to create a PDD, because what will we do with a PDD if the county changed their plans or something?
As this is zoning related, it's envisioned that this would be a permanent change. If the project didn't proceed, it would still be a zoning district, and the only uses that would be allowed would be those kinds of uses that they propose here. But it could be done by anybody. So just like we might want to change a setback or something or a building height limitation in a normal district, if somebody wanted to do something different than this PDD, it's just like a zoning district, they'd have to go through a similar process. So it's like it is a zoning district. So it's envisioned to be permanent until the Common Council wishes to change or an applicant comes with something different. So it's not normally written with a time limit.
I know at one point we had talked about stop doing PDDs, but we seem to be adding more and more PDDs, which I thought weren't in our best interest. But I understand it for this complex area. I just wanted to make sure that that's something that we want if it doesn't go through. The other thing I wondered about was I had talked to planning staff about the acreage. There are conflicts in the acreages on pages 1947. Page 28, the acreage goes anywhere from 128.5 and 140, so I wasn't really sure what size the parcel was. And an answer to that later is fine. I did notice it's not mentioned in the ordinance, so it's more for my information and to get the documents correct that the public might get their hands on in the future. The other conflicting numbers I saw were the job creation. And I know that's probably hard to determine, but the numbers go from 15, 25, 50, and 75 listed. So maybe we should try to pin that down somewhere clear between 15 and 75 jobs. There's a pretty big gap in there, again, for the public's purpose and to clarify the documents. It's my understanding that they pay no taxes to the city of Franklin. They will be paying about $25,000 to Milwaukee County, plus I think it was 8% of what they make. I'm just doing that from memory. Is that correct?
From the draft agreement with Milwaukee County, yes.
Okay. And then there is no information on the contamination risk, and I see the county does have an out clause for that in their document, which covers us completely, so I don't really have a concern about that. But I would like to have the information to read just exactly what the concerns are. I tried to look on the BART's bird system myself. Could staff provide the alderman with the contamination issue so we can have a better understanding of that? Because I am not clear on what we're trying to build on top of this. Well, the first question that came up was water and sewer. How do you install water and sewer, as Mr. Lewandowski had brought up something about where is the water and sewer? So that was another question. But how do you install water and sewer if it's capped? And I'm not understanding what the environmental contamination issues on the site, so it's probably doable, I would guess. Or, you know, they have to do their own due diligence on the contamination risk. I see that that's upon them to come up with that, but we should at least understand that as a council. I had a couple changes that I wouldn't mind seeing in the ordinance, and the first one came up with, this is not a real big issue for me, but on page 7 of our packet, page 5 of the ordinance, it says district special uses, and one of those are drinking places. Drinking places was not very well defined for me. Is that something we could further define? What do we mean by drinking?
Why don't we do this? Given that we don't have a motion on the floor yet, so we're trying to define or change or amend a motion that actually isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I think the applicant has some more things that they would like to add tonight regarding a BMX trail and things like that. So I guess if you don't mind.
Well, actually, I wouldn't mind just going through these because then maybe it would be helpful for someone else if they heard what they are. I don't have that anymore.
Saying that there's no motion on them.
Correct. And then the other one was the maximum building height. It's restricted to two stories, which is 35 feet, and I'm wondering what the ski hill height there, why we would limit the maximum unless it has something to do with the contamination and the weight. I don't know, but...
We used the P1, the Parks District, minimum standards wherever possible. So if the applicant didn't tell us something different, we just used the district standards from Parks District.
Maybe that's something that they might want to consider as one of their changes if this gets a motion to be approved. Just a thought, because they might want to make better use of that land. And there's under E, approved uses, on page 6 of the ordinance, page 8 in our packet. I read the sentence several times, and I could not understand what it said. And I ran it by staff, and it was kind of, I think it means this type of answer. So maybe some rewording to that sentence. The first sentence of that says, the Rock Sports Complex development for the time period is set forth in this ordinance is an approved use, but I couldn't find a time period. The second sentence says, and this is the sentence that makes no sense to me. It has the word following in it a couple times. The following terms and provisions of this subsection E shall only apply to such approved uses where the subject matter of the following terms and provisions is not otherwise addressed or depicted in the exhibits to this ordinance.
Hold on a minute, what page?
I'm on page 8 of the council packet. And maybe the city attorney, again, if this moves forward, could work on rewording that so we don't have to read it 6 times and then guess what it means. On page 10 of the packet, landscaping, item number 4 to the bottom of the page, it talks about plantings. Planting shall be provided within a 2-year planting guarantee. It would be really great to include the release of the 2-year planting guarantee shall be the responsibility of the developer. If the release is not requested before the plan commission at the end of the 2-year period, the city has the authority to extend the planting guarantee for 1 year. What happens with these planting guarantees is staff is so busy that they often don't have time to follow up. And putting that language would put the release of that onto the developer to keep track and a little bit less time. And now if the staff didn't follow that up and another year went by, they would be completely out of that guarantee as well, and we would end up with whatever plants we ended up with. On page 11, under hours of operation, toward the bottom of the page, it says hours of operation for bicycle trails on the site should be limited to sunrise, sunset. I'm suggesting that instead of saying bicycles, it says the hours of operation for BMX and mountain bike trails on the site. Otherwise, we're telling people if you want to ride your bike, on some future trail to get from your residential home, say, to Carrabba's in Greendale, you can't use the trail. So I think what's meant there is the BMX and the mountain bike, not specifically bikes. On page 11, there is most of those items in there say that they do not come back before council, including the revised landscape plan, the landscape surface ratio calculations, the snow storage, the natural resource plan, the lighting plan. The only one that we seem to be concerned about is the water main easement documents, which will come back before the council. That's the only one. So I don't know if the council's good with not seeing anything that we'll be pushing forward, but I would be interested in seeing those documents if I'm going to vote on them. Other than that, I like the project. I'd like to see it work. I'm glad to see the county has taken the initiative to put in the language that protects them from the contamination liabilities, and that covers the city. I feel pretty comfortably with that, and maybe the city attorney has another opinion on that, but I felt it covered us.
Anyone else? Yes, Alderman Solomon.
I'll move to approve an ordinance to create section 15-3.0442 of the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance establishing Plan Development District Number 37, the Rock Sports Complex, and to rezone property from A1 Agricultural, R2 Estate Single Family Residence District, and Floodway District to Plan Development District Number 37 and Floodway District at approximately 7900 West Crystal Ridge Drive.
Second. The moved and seconded. Under discussion, Mr. Deedle.
Staff forgot to add to the council action sheet an additional motion from the Plan Commission at the night of the meeting. I would ask if the Plan Commission or Common Council would like to consider adding that to their motion as well.
What is it?
The Plan Commission made a motion with regard to the approximately 5-acre area shown on the site plan for future soccer uses, known as Phase 3, in the applicant's narrative and installation of berming. That particular future use is not approved at this time and will be subject to future review and possible approval following a public hearing for that area.
Okay. I mean, I think if we got this motion, we could bring up the second one. I thought the applicant had some issues and wanted to make some additions to BMX. That's what I heard today.
This is resolved, so, right? First motion.
Yeah, on the motion under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm wondering if the council's going to accept any of my suggestions. I would make a second motion otherwise. The one about the asking the city attorney to reword the approved uses section so it's clear, so we can all understand it, so there's no question in the future. If the applicant wants to consider the possibility of a larger building height, if the city would like to not limit bicycles from the trails but have BMX and mountain bikes limited to sunrise, sunset, and if we want to cover ourselves for the release of planting. Is there any...
Would you like to put that in the form of an amendment to the motion?
Let's see. I'm not really sure how to exactly do all that. I guess I would make the amendment to have the city attorney look at the changes and amendments as suggested by the council for approved uses.
Yeah, my point is we have a motion on the floor. I think you're trying to amend the motion, and mm-hmm. it requires a motion for amendment and then with a second. Did you want to put that in the form of a...
Well, I guess Alderman Taylor has a suggestion. I'm willing to listen to it.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no problem with what you're asking, but we do have the developer here. Maybe we want to ask him any of those things he wants. I mean, I understand. I have no problem with the bike change. I mean, I think that, you know, we should be allowed to take a mountain, you know, a 10-speed or whatever you're driving, a normal bike, mountain bike, you know, to go from point A to point B, but that the use of BMX hills should only be from whatever time, 10 to 10, whatever you said. But maybe when I ask the developer regarding whether or not he wants a larger building and the other issues that you had before we start adding things, that maybe also depend on agreed upon. That would be my suggestion to maybe open it up to ask him.
Yeah, and I was going to suggest that maybe you wanted to have a move on this motion and then come forward with a second motion after talking to the developer regarding the changes, because I think a positive that they want a change as well to the BMX language.
Well, I think that that would be appropriate. That's fine with me. The two other ones that I'm suggesting are more protecting the city. The rewording of the approved uses is definitely going to make it easier for us to understand, and the plantings, providing them to have this planting guarantee released by the Plan Commission so it doesn't just bypass us. Those are more city protection.
Okay. On the main motion, any further discussion? Alderman Solomon?
I just want to mention for everybody in the audience that this is all under the direct control of the DNR. They're going to tell the developer what he can do and what he can't do on each area of the site. So the DNR, as noted by Milwaukee County, will be the individuals that are going to tell the developer what they can and cannot do. This is a very critical site. They can't put lights in and go 30 feet deep with them. They're going to have big, large concrete pads on top to do the supporting. They'll be the determining factor as to what the developer can do and what the developer can't do. It will be an engineering marvel if it all happens, believe me, considering the old dump and the crap that's out there right now.
All right. On the motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. I'm sorry, five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a second motion?
Yes.
And maybe we should have the developer come up. Come up and tell the chair, please introduce yourselves. Address for the record.
Mike Zimmerman, 7337 South Cambridge.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Greg Marceau, 9882 West St. Stephen's Drive.
Maybe before we get to Alderman Wilhelm's issues, you had called me regarding trying to get the BMX site within the provisions of the motion that was passed by the Plan Commission.
Yes, that's correct.
Maybe it could be
with the Plan Commission meeting last week, the support and the suggestions of the BMX community, that we want to make sure we've got the permitted use for phase one to include the BMX track. So it does expand a little bit outside of the phase one that was marked out on the site plan.
And the reason for that is currently they've got operations built there and they run races. And part of phase one is to put a restaurant where they currently have their racetrack. So in order to accommodate their schedule going into next year, we want to include them into phase one.
One of the speakers the last time, I'm not going to get this right, but representing all of Wisconsin for BMX or something like that, they want to bring most of what they're doing to the Rock.
Right.
So there's this urgency to try and accommodate them and get that done if possible. So
that's right. That's right. They've got hundreds of racers. I think every Tuesday night they're up there and they have over 100 and some odd racers every night. So we'd hate to not be able to accommodate that.
Is there a motion to allow for the BMX portion as described by Mr. Moreau? Is it, how do you?
Marceau,
as described by Mr. Marceau, to include the BMX revisions.
In phase one, I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm?
The second motion. First of all, are you want to consider anything that changes about the building heights so you could have more than two stories?
I don't think so. The current structure, we're looking at building a one-story restaurant. Mm-hmm. that is fraught with all sorts of challenges as is. I can't imagine going with larger structures than what we're
already
thinking.
This would be a maximum, so it would only be part of the PDD. Right now, you'd be limited to two, which you probably
And I think we're comfortable with that, right? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So I guess the motion would be for this city attorney to make the technical changes and corrections, including approved uses, where it discusses time period and the application, the planting guarantee, and the hours of operation for the BMX or trails.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Under discussion, I guess I would just ask the applicant if you know what that means and if you're in agreement.
Frankly, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do.
Could I clarify?
Yes, and I was also going to ask the alderman if they knew what they were voting on.
I think I said
that's
it
a definite
twice.
Maybe.
All right, here we go for the third time. Under the council packet on page 8, item 6, under approved uses, it talks about the rock complex development for the time period set forth in this ordinance, but there's no time period set forth in the ordinance. And it's approved under this ordinance for this time period, but it has no language on what that time. That's what the time period technical change for the city attorney. The second part also applies to that, where the sentence, what I read, you can read it, and it doesn't really make any sense of what it means. So you might want to know what that means, and everybody might want to be really clear. You want me to read the sentence again?
Yes.
Sure. I mean, it didn't make sense the first pass, but let's give it another.
The following terms and provisions of the subsection ye shall only apply to such approved uses where the subject matter of the following terms and provisions is not otherwise addressed or depicted in exhibits to this ordinance. To me, it could be much more simplified so people aren't kind of guessing what it means, and that's I'm just asking you to work with the city attorney to clarify
great.
That.
Yeah.
What page?
The other one is on the planting guarantee.
Page 8.
The other one is on the planting guarantee, and that was one where I talked about frequently. And this protects you as well, because
right.
if you have landscapers putting in things and the plants die and no one's following up. And
right, this one I get.
Okay,
yep.
And you're okay with
yep.
that. Okay, so and then the other one was the hours of operation for the BMX trails. Right now it just says that the hours of the bicycle trail are limited, and I suggested it say bicycle and mountain bike are limited. Because right now you couldn't drive a pedal bike
sure.
if you wanted to go. You know, should a future trail get inside of this PDD for pedestrians to move about from the business area to, you wouldn't be allowed to ride on there at any time.
Right.
Or
I think that's a great suggestion.
Okay. Do you want to have, because mountain biking and BMX bikes are quite a bit different. Do you want to also have BMX?
Biking? I said BMX and mountain.
Okay. Yeah, but and the thing with, and let me just think out loud on this one. So there's even mountain biking, there's two types of mountain biking. There's the cross-country stuff, so that's all the trails that are out there, and then there's downhill mountain biking, which we also plan on including, which we would put the lights on for that activity to occur.
Mm-hmm.
So
you need to work with the city attorney on making the hours of operation for bicycles, BMX, and mountain bikes to fit in this ordinance so it works.
Exactly.
For,
I appreciate
because
it.
Because right
yep.
now it's really not
okay.
there.
Great.
And that's it.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody understand the motion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Deedle?
I can make the motion. Also wish to include that one as well.
Why don't you say it?
The Plan Commission's motion was, with regard to the approximately 5-acre area shown on the site plan for future soccer uses, known as Phase 3 in the applicant's narrative and installation of berming, that particular future use is not approved at this time, and will be subject to future review and possible approval following a public hearing for that area.
Alderman Solomon, are you okay with
I'm
that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. You making that motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
Second. We don't want to put any pressure on. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Are we done?
Yes, sir.
How about a round of applause for the
Thank
the
you.
Ride?
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is G2, ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change future land use map use designation for property located at the eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road, South 100, Highway 100, from mixed use to commercial use, and to change the City of Franklin Crossroads Trade Area regulating plan to allow for such commercial use, et cetera, et cetera. Before we begin, I did want to suggest I did receive Alderman Olson's letter. I think all of you did as well. It seems like a lot of individuals received it. And I'd like to point out that did you all receive the most recent letter from the DNR within the last week? Okay. I would like to, as the mayor of the city, because it was addressed to me, to try and suggest to the common council that they may want to consider laying this issue over pending a resolve of, to allow the alderman to be here. Two, we have outstanding issues with the Department of Natural Resources, I should say Myers has, regarding the burden of proof. And there is still in discussions with the Department of Transportation. There you have my stance on it. Mr. Beal?
I would note that if the council wishes to lay over this matter, there are two of the items per our UDO standards would have to be acted on tonight unless the applicant would give us a time extension.
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that.
It's the natural resource special exception and the CSM. The other two items could be laid over. There are no time requirements, but those two do have time requirements.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Do we have the ability to ask them that?
We have already before.
And they've given us the...
extension expires now.
Given that we have some legal issues...
Didn't answer the question.
I think we should maybe look to the city attorney for some advice. I know that the attorney for Myers is here tonight, but I don't see anyone else. City attorney, is that something that we could do by asking their attorney to, in essence, waive the time restrictions, or do we need something a little bit more formal?
No, we can. Council can put that on the record, and I think you need to know that answer.
Okay. Is the representative from Myers here? Mr. Randall, good to see you.
Thank you, Mr.
Yeah. If you want to come here, we're comfortable. Better check to see that the plug's unplugged on that chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the Common Council, Attorney Brian Randall of Freebird Finnerty in St. John, 330 East Kilbourne Avenue here in Milwaukee, and I represent Meyer Stores. If I understand the specific question of whether Meyer would consent to an extension of the UDO time requirements for the pending applications, the NRSE and the CSM, we have done that once before, and I am authorized to agree to that extension if that's the direction of the council this evening.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'll make the motion to table the Meyer proposal until the alderman can be present. DOT and DNR permits are satisfied.
I'll second.
The motion has been made and seconded. Mr. City Attorney.
I'm hearing until the Department of Transportation and Department of Natural Resource issues are settled. I don't know what that means. Number one, more importantly perhaps, you need a time extension limit from the applicant. 30 days, 60 days, what is the applicant willing to do? And as long as I have the floor, I would ask Mr. Randall to scratch out
Mr. Mayor, we previously agreed to a 30-day extension, and I would think that's as good as any number of days at this juncture. My understanding is Alderman Olson is just absent for this meeting, and September 4th would be the next one. We would hope and expect that we could be on the agenda that is within 30 days. If I can speak just briefly, though, to the DOT and the DNR issues, from day one, particularly with our DNR wetlands issues and our NRSE application, we've expected the city to consider that and condition its approval based on the DNR's permit issuance. And if there is an expectation that we go through that entire process or we have DOT somehow go through its entire permit process, I don't know that that could be done in 30 days or seemingly at the pace we're going, 300 days. But that being the case, we would hope that within 30 days we could be considered by the council, and if that at that point it's in the council's discretion to approve us, that it would be conditioned on any outstanding issues. As it relates to the DOT, I really think it would give us the ability to present a locally approved plan by the city when we engage with the DOT. And Mr. Bennett made an amendment to the Plan Commission's motion, and we agree with that. We've revised our site plan to present to you the bypass lane option. I think the leverage and the opportunity to convince DOT of the soundness of that plan is only enhanced by the City Council approving us and giving us the ability to show that that's what the city wants. But if we need to wait until September 4th and Alderman Olson to return, and if I'm asked for 30, or if I'm asking for 30 days, I think that will accommodate. The last time I did cover that base with an email to the planning department after the fact, but I'm happy to use my chicken scratch and do what's necessary.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Salt.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, you know, I understand that there are some people in the area that do not like this project and do not want this project to happen. I completely see their point of view. There's no doubt about it. There are 35,000 people in this community. This is something that we need to do. All right, we need tax base. We need, and this will help create jobs. This will be something that will, I believe, be a catalyst to that area. I'm prepared tonight to vote for this. Tabling this thing to an undecided date, to me, is completely unacceptable. Frankly, you know, Alderman missed meetings, okay? But considering the magnitude of this issue, I think, he should be here. That being said, I'd even ask the mayor to call a special meeting when the Alderman gets back into town to hold this. And I have to wait till September 4th to approve this, which I think it will approve with all the conditions that we've talked about with the DNR and the DOT. Also, I wouldn't mind having the Alderman of the district here. I want to know how he's going to vote on this one. That, to me, is the biggest curiosity of everything. A person that's pro-economic development since 1991, and I've been here 4+ years, and I've seen sometimes the opposite of that. So I'd like to see exactly how he's going to vote on this issue. So I would support referring this to the next common council meeting, no longer, and with the consideration that we even call a special meeting just to move this thing forward, because I think this has gone on long enough. I mean, I think we made it pretty clear when we passed the big box, made the change to the big box ordinance for this location, that this project will move forward. Now we do have, it's not a done deal. Not because I think of this body, but because of the DOT and the DNR. They're the ones that always, just like Crystal Ridge, they're the ones that could throw a wrench in this. But I think this body needs to make a commitment, yes or no, whether you want this or not, and not just keep on kicking it down the road, down the road, and down the road. So I'll support to the next meeting. That's it.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Solomon.
Well, I guess I was just reiterating what the mayor said, that there were three pending issues. One, Alderman Olson wasn't here. One was the DOT concerns, and two was the DNR concerns. In our Alderman PAC for this special exception, we are saying in our standards and findings decision that we, the council, believe that all practical alternatives analysis have been met. The DNR says in their letter they have not. So by us saying they have, we are overriding the state on that issue. So it's, you know, I understand we want to move this forward, and I've been supporting this project. But to do that would be not serving our citizens until the DNR gives their approvals. That's the ordinance says they shall have their permits when they do an NRPP. We allow them not to have their permits when they do that. They're supposed to have their DOT accesses. We've been going in. I think we've been very accommodating. I think we've been working with them, and I don't think we've unduly held anything up. And they seem to be fine with giving us extensions, so if you just want me to amend my motion, or I'll withdraw my motion, someone else can make a motion. But as it is right now, without the DNR saying that they've met their practical alternatives, I don't see how I can support the standards and findings on that decision. It would be a lie.
Do you withdraw your motion?
I'll withdraw my motion, and I'll okay. Someone
and
else.
And who's the second? Alderman Chair? No. Alderman Schmidt, you withdraw your second?
Yes.
Okay. Alderman, we have done Alderman Wellen. Alderman Solomon?
I do believe there was a comment made by during the citizens' comment period that this is being rushed through. On the contrary, I do believe we're pretty close to 120 days from the first application. We have an opportunity here for a very good quality development. The issue with the DOT may never be resolved to the satisfaction of us. They're in control of both streets, Highway 36 and Highway 100. The DOT, or the DNR, I think they're encroaching on less than 1 acre of land. They've offered to mitigate that particular land. I don't see what the DNR is going to try and hold up, except, you know, that may not be resolved for 6 months. Hopefully, they can move forward with that. I will support postponing this to the next council meeting or sooner, and I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
The move and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Taylor and then Mr. City Attorney.
Well, just a quick point about the DOT and the DNR. Alderman Solomon's correct. We may never like what the end result's going to be. As to the DNR, I can't recall very many times in my tenure up here I've ever agreed with the DNR. You know, they are way overreaching on much of what they do. And you bring up NRPP, that's something that's coming down the road of making that change and going just a sewer pack. So when we start talking about those types of issues, they're not winning any support from this guy right here because they are so far off base. So I don't think we'll ever agree on that one.
Alderman Schmidt?
Yes, I do believe, I don't feel that we've really been rushing this too much. I mean, there's been so many multiple meetings we've gone through with the Environmental Plan Commission. Mr. Randall is virtually, he rents an apartment in Franklin, has been here so often. And we certainly appreciate his patience in dealing with all the hurdles that we have here. And I certainly hope that we can move forward on September 4th because I think we need to show the DNR and the DOT that we are taking a stand on this, and it's time for them to get on board with this project and move it forward before we lose it.
Well, in Skansky, do you have any?
No, but I'm fine. I say it's a great business. I think it should be here. I'd like to have them here. And the DNR has always been a thorn in everybody's side. They become unreasonable, in most cases, to common sense. That creek, they could redo that entire creek because it's never been changed, and all the garbage and the junk that's in there now, it's never changed. And whatever they're going to do with the property, I'm sure they're going to enhance it, and it would make it a lot more, much more acceptable waterway and for the flow of water to go through it. So I think whatever we're going to do, it's about time the DNR works with these people in order to enhance their project.
City Attorney?
I think the council needs to know whether or not Mr. Randall is still willing to offer his authorized 30-day extension. And I would suggest 30 days, even though I heard common council members have
I agree.
Putting it over to the next meeting. There could be any staff recommendation whatsoever is because staff specifically noted that that ordinance, as well as the amendment to PDD 31, which was an alternate under that PDD when it was adopted years ago, were freestanding, separate actions, not contingent upon this project in any way.
Mr. Randall, would you be agreeable to do that and maybe put something in writing and then give it to the city manager, planning manager?
I think I'm halfway done with putting it
halfway
in writing.
Halfway done? Okay. I see that Alderman Wilhelm has her hand up, so Alderman Wilhelm?
I just wanted to ask the applicant if there's been consideration for doing the mitigation in the watershed rather than just buckthorn removal. I'm concerned about storage capacity and flooding on the residents, and I think it would be more appropriate, rather than buying banking credits up north, which we did discuss on the phone, if the mitigation would be done to protect the residents of Franklin. There has been flooding in this creek, and so far I haven't seen mitigation in the watershed, as our ordinance states, and I haven't seen a recommendation or a motion from the council to go around that section of the ordinance that says mitigation shall be done in the watershed. It used to say same sub-watershed. This council thought that was too restrictive at one point, so then we widened it up to say in the same watershed, which would be the watershed of Legend Creek, which Mr. Bennett can tell you is a fairly good size area. It drains into the Root River, which is even a bigger watershed area. And there certainly should be areas for water storage compensation in Franklin. And we owe it to our citizens to prevent flooding.
Very quickly. Alderman Olson's email, my understanding, went out to maybe as many as 600 or more households. And I did get flooded with many emails and letters, et cetera, et cetera. I guess I would remind the aldermen that while these are constituents of Alderman Olson's, they're also my constituents. And so when my constituents send me some things, especially when it's a great number of them, I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to read them and I'm going to listen to their concerns. Alderman Olson's letter goes into a lot of things about concerns 24 hours we'll be building to the north, close access to Putes Road. Probably a lot of people brushed over the paragraph, the third paragraph, I don't know if you have this, where Alderman Olson towards the end says, constituents appear to be generally supportive with some concerns. So I, as the elected representative for the district, focus my attention to the needs of the immediate neighbors. I believe all of you represent about 5,000-plus residents in your districts. That particular clause, to me, says that generally his constituents, maybe 5,000 or more, are generally supportive with some concerns. So I read that because I think many people may have brushed over that and went to the bullet items. So with that, thank you. We do have a motion on the floor. Madam Clerk, would you please be kind enough to read back the motion?
Well, just to postpone to the next Common Council meeting of 9/4/12 or sooner, all of the Meyer proposals.
Okay. Alderman Scrassi, I'd like to ask this microphone.
Well, I know this microphone is like a wand in there. I would think that, you know, why do it at a, give them a little more time just in case something happens. And as the city attorney says, put 30 days on it, even though we're going to have a meeting in two more weeks. What if there's always these little details that come up and we cut it off? That'll give you past the second meeting beyond that, and that ain't going to hurt anything. So if we get it done sooner, so much the better.
I think Mr. Randall is just about completing
his biography.
A document that's going to say exactly what you just said.
Okay, great.
And then he's going to give it to Mr. Deedle, and then Mr. Deedle is going to give it the city attorney, and then we're going to get the 30 days over and above what the motion is.
Great minds think alike.
So that should take care of your concerns. All right. All those in city attorney?
Just so there's no confusion. Mr. Randall has agreed to a 30-day extension. The motion is to put it over to the next council.
That's what I mentioned.
I don't think Mr. Randall has agreed that the motion should be changed.
No.
He's agreeing to a 30-day extension. Alderman Skransky mentioned maybe it should be put over to the September 18th council meeting. I don't think Attorney Randall is agreeing to that.
Right.
And September 4th, if the council is still has issues and concerns that are unaddressed, the 30-day extension will allow for one more postponement under the 30-day extension to September.
That's my understanding. All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. And we keep talking about Mr. Randall, but you're actually, when you're sitting there, you're Myers, right?
I am.
Yes.
And I, in fact, did complete my homework assignment, and Mr. McBurney has already made copies, and so I'll walk out with what I scribbled.
Why don't you give that to the city attorney? See if that's...
We saw him.
It's appropriate,
okay. And therefore, we do not have to, the council does not have to make two motions on either the natural resources protection components or the CSM. That's my understanding. Okay, and anything else regarding this issue for tonight? Alderman Solomon?
Does the applicant understand that if we do the, if we would have approved all of this tonight, that you would have to probably resubmit the CSM and the site plan if the DOT or the DNR would change anything?
Mr. Randall's returning.
As I understand, the site plan we have submitted for tonight's packet, and I appreciate maybe everyone is trying to follow which plan we're talking about, but it's up on the wall, Jack and Gates. The site plan that's on the wall has the right-in on Highway 100, has Pewds Road intersection in its basically current location as it relates to the properties.
Could Mr. Flaberta, could you stand there for just a second? Could you point out on the map the right-in? On the, just off of 36. Yeah. Right there. And that's intended to alleviate the traffic for Pewds Road.
That is correct. A right-in on Highway 100 will allow traffic on Highway 100 to access the site directly rather than turning on Pewds and finding its way into our site. This plan also shows the alignment, the realignment of the Pewds Road intersection as it intersects Highway 100 in almost a perpendicular fashion and also aligned with Pewds Road to the southwest. And that is accomplished by property that we're providing to the project where there's no eminent domain by property that we will realign that road for. And the project driveway onto Pewds is at the midsection, if you will, of our store, right there where Mr. Ben is pointing. And that is not in direct alignment with the Pewds Road neighbors to the east. Ms. Drobnowski spoke this evening, and we've been working with her extensively and all throughout on the location of that driveway. And what previously was before plan commission that DOT did approve was a plan that showed Pewds Road intersecting with 100 in a different location and our project access drive in a different location, all with very different impacts to the neighbors. And we have, again, accepted the city's, the plan commission's direction in this site plan, and that's when I spoke, the ability that we have to present that to the DOT and to show how this site plan can safely function for Highway 100, I think will only be enhanced by the local approval. That's not to say we will not work with DOT in the meantime. But there's a reason why we started with the city of Franklin. The local municipality is most important in my view, and we have a lot of state applications, but the city is the zoning authority, the city is we will pay our taxes to, and the city is where we should and did start this process, and it's only the city that can send the signals to these state agencies. It never was possible for us to do it all simultaneously, and so that was our approach. We came to the city first, and it's been a long process. We're at almost 120 days in the public process, but that's not to say we haven't worked with staff who's been very good throughout as far as this project coming up to this point. Our goal, our desire, when we came to the city of Franklin first, is that we have the city of Franklin approve our first Wisconsin project, and we're very excited about that. Truth be told, on September 4th, we do have another municipality that very well might give us final approval, and that is what it is. But I will be here, and if the council is able to make a decision that night, that is what we would hope. And if the council, for the 30 days that I'm authorized to give, needs more time, we presumably will stick with it and try and provide you the answers that we have. But we've all throughout worked with the neighbors, worked with the local alderman, and I'm disappointed he was not here tonight, but that's scheduling, and I can't change that. So all we can do is keep trying and provide you with the latest and greatest information.
Alderman Solomon, you have the floor. Okay. Alderman Wilhelm.
I just want to mention, if you can't get your DNR and your DOT approval settled, we just got this from the Business Journal that says Pick and Save is up for sale. There's no environmental issues there for you to worry about, and the DOT has already approved the road. So if you need a copy of this, I'd be happy to give it to you.
Just on that
note, we'd love to have you here.
Just on that note, there was an article that appeared, I believe, this week in the Journal saying that Walmart and, is it Roundy's, are squaring off, and that there's a battle for the shopping. For the shopping rights, or who's going to be the big kid on the block. And so this is not just going on in Franklin, it's going on all over the country. So, thank you. Anyone else have anything else before Mr. Randall gets up and we have to call him back? Okay. Thank you very much. Nothing else, Mr. Deedle, on this issue?
Separate action on the others, not necessary.
Okay. So item three, standards, findings, decisions. Wait, that's the same thing.
Yeah, so it's four.
Number, yes, Mr. City Attorney.
We need to go to six.
Did the motion include all four items?
Yes.
Yes, go to six.
I'll have the clerk read back the motion. Madam Clerk, please read it back.
Well, I had on all my proposals. Mm-hmm. So does that include two?
Two, three, four, and five. Okay. Just because we've spent so much time, just maybe read back the motion again.
I have Alderman Solomon moving to postpone to the next Common Council meeting of 9/4/12 or sooner all of the Meyer proposals, which would include amending the comprehensive master plan, the standards, special exception is, I'm sorry, the standards, findings, and decisions, the plan development district number 36, and also the certified survey map.
Okay, and that was your motion, Alderman Solomon?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's move on to item six, resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for and as part of the review and approval of special use for a new medical office building greater than 40,000 square feet. Alderman Taylor?
Yeah, motion to adopt resolution number 212- authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for and as part of the review and approval of a special use for the new medical office building greater than 40,000 square feet in the area. Use upon property located at 9969 South 27th Street, Green Francis King Healthcare, Franklin, Inc. Applicant subject to technical corrections by the attorney.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Wilhelm.
I know that the council is working and has in mind to eliminate all the natural resource protection standards. However, they have not been eliminated. We have not seen or reviewed that, but I guess that's not something the council cares to do anymore. I just wanted to make that point.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six aye, or five ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. So you said it's six. Ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone a certain parcel of land from R1 Countryside Estate Single Family Residence District to A1 Agricultural District. Alderman Taylor?
Your Honor, I understand this did pass the Plan Commission. I do not support what happened. The property owner is a good person, obviously. No problems with him as an individual. We just not that long ago passed a comprehensive master plan 2025, and now we're making changes to it. I guess I have a real issue with that. We obviously set this up. We did this, spent a lot of time and energy figuring out what's going to be plotted agricultural, what's going to be plotted residential and commercial and mixed use, and now we have residential, then agricultural, the three properties. This would put a residential property square in the middle of two agricultures. I don't think that's a wise decision. Secondly, there are some violations currently on that site. I think it sets a horrible precedent to basically be approving changes when we have these things currently taking place. Now, if they can be cleaned up, if it can get up to code, I think then it's another issue. That doesn't change the fact that we spent years planning the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to now be changing it piecemeal. I just don't think that's good policy, and I won't support it. So I'll make a motion to actually table this item and then the next two to basically just table it until those items that are in violation are corrected, and then at that time the applicant could come forward and come before this body to be able to make his request, and we can have that debate at that time on whether or not we should be changing something that we spent so much time establishing.
I would second
that. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries.
And that did include 7, 8, 9, if that's appropriate.
Yes, I think everybody understood that.
Thank you.
And I guess I would just say to the planning manager that it might be important to take note of the decision of the Common Council on this item. Item 10, resolution authorizing certain officials to execute a replacement holding tank agreement with FedEx Freight, 1613 South 47.
Motion
approved. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 12, remove or replace deteriorated concrete curb and gutter. Change order to South 51st Street.
11.
Ryan Creek.
Okay. Change order number 4, Ryan Creek Interceptor contract for utility relocation on parcel number 219733 West Ryan Road.
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Nice. Item 12. Remove or replace deteriorated concrete curb and gutter, a change order to South 51st Street contract with Payne & Dolan, Inc., the amount of $17,476.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded.
Question.
Under discussion, Alderman Solomon.
My question is probably to the engineering department. It appears that we've got a pilot area, but you can come down my street, and I realize we're probably due for a new street pretty soon there also. But the curb and gutter in my area is horrendous. I've got people that want to replace driveways. They can't because the curb and gutter is all messed up, including my own.
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, these are streets that aren't planned for immediate reconstruction. I think some of the streets in your area are being planned for reconstruction.
Okay.
We hope to catch up on this, and that if this is successful, which we think it will be, that each year we have about 4,000 plus feet of curb and gutter, little spots. They're all over it, and a lot of them are in driveways that we'd like to start getting replaced because we just have not found time to do that with our own.
I'll talk to you at a different time about it.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Resolution authorizing officials to execute an engineering service agreement with Groff to provide stormwater management review.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 14, quarry monitoring proposals. Mr. Liberta.
The item in your packet indicated that you'd receive supplemental information today, and that was placed at your seat, two-page detail. I'll very quickly go through it and get to the back of the second page, because that's really
can you wait till I find it in my pile of papers? Thank you. I got it.
This was moved to this meeting from your last meeting because of concern with the difference between the amount bid for doing this quarry monitoring and the available amount in the budget. Staff has gone through it and taken suggestions from the consultants, both consultants, and looked at past service levels. So the blast monitoring itself, we can go back to quarterly instead of bimonthly. We can eliminate some extra tests of the quarries monitors themselves and just make sure that they're properly certified. And we can go from two monitors to one, and where we need to move a monitor to a residence, but focus on monitoring at the property line, since that's where we're going to get the highest registers anyway. Air quality monitoring, in 2004 we measured 10 days. This RFP had anticipated 42 days. We could go down to something more like 16. There's a number of areas in the air quality monitoring where we could use different monitors, and so I'm going to hold most of that discussion very briefly to the end, but there's a lot of options there relative to different EPA standards, and I can discuss it to any length that you would like. Quarry operations monitoring, we had included 3 days per month in the RFP. In the past, we have done about 1 day per month, so we can go back to that. And in fact, we could even train staff to do that and eliminate the consultant in that area altogether. I'm going to jump all the way to F on the backside. There's two sort of across-the-board strategies that could apply that could reduce costs in all these areas, and these do come from the consultants as well, which is use city staff for certain aspects of it. For example, with the larger EPA high-volume air monitor, it takes two people to set up and take down each week you use it. One of our staff members could be that second person supporting them, eliminating a significant chunk of costs, about 13 hours a week at $75 an hour, for example. Moving on to the conclusion, in the interview process, the consultants were, each consultant was asked if the city decides to reduce our scope of services to our budgeted amount, were they still interested in the contract? You know, we wanted to make sure if it was a significant reduction that they were still interested. And they not only replied yes, but the consultant that was the recommendation of the work group said, we highly recommend that you select which consulting firm you'd like to work with first, provide them a budget, and allow them to develop a scope of work based on your budget. And I think that is the best way to go, with some extra guidance from you so that we can work with them. But let's, now that we've talked about it, vetted the issue some with them, let's give them a chance to say, here's the best way we think we can package something that works in that. So that being the case, the very last three number things on the bottom of page two, it would be useful to get some brief comments, even if it's just general discussion on those three points. The first being, do you have a preference or an order of priority of importance between blast monitoring, air quality monitoring, and on-site monitoring? Or should we just try to balance them all?
Alderman Wilhelm?
Was this document created by that working group, or was this just you that created this?
Oh, just me, because this is beyond the scope of what the working group was asked to do. The working group was a specific group for a specific purpose, which was to evaluate the RFPs and recommend to the Common Council the consultant, and they did that in
well, I understand that, but now they went out with this idea thinking that they made these recommendations based on a different set of statutes, things that they would be looking at, and now we have a completely different set that they're not even going to be aware of.
No, I would disagree, actually. As you can see from the question that we included, that the work group worked together to ask that question. The work group was very aware that there was a gap between the proposals received and the budget. So a number of the questions we asked them and a fair bit of that discussion was tailored to that. The work group's recommendation, which was in your last packet, and in fact is copied in item number one in your packet today, the work group recommends Stantec for the nature of this work in general. So provided you can work out an arrangement with them that fits the scope and the dollars that you're looking for, Stantec was the group's recommendation, irrespective of the volume of the work that you
ultimately contract. Well, my feeling is since the quarry monitoring committee has members appointed and we're going to have a meeting, that why don't we have quarry monitoring committee look at this and see what they'd like to include or not include? Because you drop this in front of me, you can go through it and then skip over to the back page, and I'm not comfortable making a motion on this without reading it. You know, I like to read everything.
That's obviously something that Common Council can choose to do. The Quarry Monitoring Committee ordinance was set up to review, as it's written, as I recall, to review the results that come from the monitoring. We don't yet have any results. But if the council wanted to get their input in the scope moving forward,
Well, I think it would give them a better understanding of what the scope is as well. If they go through it and they are the ones to select the things, then they know in the future what they're supposed to be looking at. And they can't be saying, well, why aren't they doing this and why aren't they doing that? Because they helped develop what the scope and they eliminated certain costs for a reason and they would understand that. To me, that makes sense. So I guess I'd like to make a motion to put this forward to the Quarry Monitoring Committee for their recommendation back to the council after the Quarry Monitoring Committee meets the following council meeting.
Second that.
Under discussion, Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, we have a tentative meeting scheduled for September 13th, was it? So I agree this would be a good chance for us to digest this information and hopefully be able to refer something back to the Common Council for a recommendation.
I'll just note for the record that we do have Aquifer Science, a division of Rupert Milkey, that's continuing to do interim monitoring at this time, which includes site visits and blast monitoring. We do not have air monitors going at this point, but they are doing the site monitoring and looking for dust and things like that. But continuing to move this forward, we do have something in place in the interim.
Okay. Great. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. A resolution awarding a 5-year contract for refuse collection, disposal, and recycling to John's Disposal Service, Inc. Mr. Chair Bennett.
Yes, at the last council meeting, a couple concerns were brought up. One was about the initial delivering of 96-gallon containers. We've worked with Johns, and we're to resolve this, recommending that in the October newsletter that we put in a flyer and a notice in the front part of the newsletter that people can fill out that form and send it into Johns and request a 48-gallon container initially. Still, they are willing to switch back and forth on containers. Even if a person gets a 48, they find a 96. Or vice versa, they get a 96 and they want a 48, they'll accommodate them. The other question was about condos with dumpsters, and Johns has agreed that they would be willing to allow people to opt out, condominiums with dumpsters to opt out. And of course, then they would not be charged the taxes. It's staff's recommendation that we do this by November 1st. 2012, because we do have to get the tax roll prepared. If they opt out, obviously they got to be removed from the tax roll. And then if time goes on and they want to opt back then, I don't see any problem with them opting back in. With that, just to remind you that staff is not necessarily and has not necessarily recommended that we negotiate a contract. In fact, in my first distribution of council action was that staff has always and probably will continue always to recommend a competitive bidding, but we understand that the service that we residents have received from Johns has been exceptional, and you may want to consider that. But the end result of this would be that the cost $30 per month per household, or $3.60 per year per household to have carts. Johns also had given us a proposal that if we don't use carts, they would increase the cost by 3% on a 3-year contract and 2% on a 5-year contract. It's staff's recommendation that if we don't have carts, there's no reason to go to a 5-year contract. It's always difficult to look that far out. So therefore, the difference in cost between carts and not having carts but having a 3% increase is 40 cents per year per household for carts.
48 cents
per year per household. So I think it is important that the Plan Commission or the Council make a decision. If we're going to bid this, we need to get started on the bidding process, and we have to have directions on whether we're going to bid with or without carts, although we could bid it both ways. We could bid it with carts, and we could bid it without carts, and that's basically what we did last 3 years ago.
Spencer, what's the total cost for this 5-year contract?
About $1 million a year, a little over $1 million.
So about $5 million. And then on see the fiscal note, you've got this will increase the charge by $3.60.
Yep.
$104. Question I have is, and I've said this before, I've recommended Johns to other communities, they know that. And I wouldn't disagree that people really like the service that they've been getting from Johns, but the service that they're getting, the thing that they like, is that the person jumps out of the truck, takes the bin, and then walks it all the way up the driveway. So the thing that people most like would basically change by this contract.
For recycling, yes. Because the arm would pick it up and would put it back basically the same spot would pick it up for the recycling. I presume they would do the garbage collection.
I'm thinking that the current contract is worth about $4.3
million. Current contract is up at the end of the year.
Right, but let me put it this way. What is the current cost for 2012? You said this one is $1 million a year. What's the current cost?
It's not going up at all, except for the carts. It's the same.
$1 million a year. Okay, but the carts are going up.
And the carts you'd add $3.60 times about 10,000.
And the carts under this contract are mandatory.
Yes.
So it's going up.
$3.60 per household.
So maybe $300,000 per year?
I think we got an extra zero.
It's about $36,000 based on what you just said.
Total? Alderman Scranton.
Yeah, the question is on asked, Johns, that if people have a little more than the recycling bin that they have there, they will pick it up at no extra charge. Am I correct? Yes, no, verbal? Yes, they will pick it up. So if somebody has a recycling cart there and they have a little more, they will pick it up at no extra charge. Just so I want to make that clear and on the record, as the gentleman from Johns has agreed to.
Well, Wilhelm, do you have your hand up?
Well, I had made the point last time that council decided to go this route with John's, and I still continue to say that it's unfair to back up at this point and go out for a request for proposal, because now you know, they've got their price out there already. And that's not how usually requests for proposals are done. They're usually it's usually a sealed bid type process, and now John's is at a really bad disadvantage. And the council should have made that decision a while ago. The council decided not to do that. And I know there are people up there that still believe we should have, but really, is that fair to John's at this point? And if you really want to look back at what kind of prices we got the last time around, even the guy from Waste Management said he was embarrassed about their price quote, which was something like $7 million in comparison. So as much as some may want to do that, I wouldn't think that would be fair. I think they've been negotiating in good faith. I think we should continue negotiating in good faith with them and carry on with this. We've had this on the agenda for several meetings. They've been coming to these meetings. They've been offering things. They've been working with Mr. Bennett. They've been extremely accommodating. They're providing wonderful service for the city. And I would like to make the motion to, to adopt the resolution for 2012 awarding a 5-year contract for the refuse collection, disposal, and recycling to John's Disposal Service, Inc.
Second. So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Taylor.
Mr. Bennett, has any other company in this business have come to you and requested the bid?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Call a question.
There's a request to call the questions or a second.
She's on the floor.
People have done that in the past. All the time. Mayor, could I have the floor to call the question?
Is there a second? Call the question. Seeing none, Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, just to follow up on a few things Alderman Wilhelm said, this item has been before us now for months. At the end of the day, you got to do what's in the best interest of the taxpayers. Residents love the service. We know that. The mayor is absolutely correct. There is a $3.60 charge per household per year. But based on the feedback I've gotten over the years, people have wanted this for a while. We're one of the last communities to do this. So, sure, that recyclable bin is not going to be carried a quarter of the way, a third of the way up the driveway. Maybe some will carry it further. It all depends, I guess. To now go in the opposite direction, it is correct. You know, you've kind of put out good faith negotiations, and this is where they stand, and this is where we're sitting. And, you know, Waste Management, I think I recall that statement too, how they were embarrassed at their quote. They should be embarrassed at the service they provided too before Veolia, which was an embarrassment. So, you know, when you're not even close when it comes to bidding, even if we went and turned around and started this over, and one of those actually were the low bidder, what kind of service do you expect to get for that? I think we've talked about all this long enough. I understand all of them. I wanted to call the question. I just wanted to put my 2 cents. Thank you.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, I just had a question again, though, after all the back and forth we had at the last meeting. Are you planning to have the first still start with the 96 gallon and then replace them with the smaller ones? Or is it, you said that there is, it's negotiable, or what exactly will the policy be?
It was brought up at the last council meeting that there was a lot of concern with that. When we had the survey between carts and the bins, we had more calls with people wanting the 48-gallon carts instead of the 96-gallon carts, and we're still getting calls on that. So the Johns has agreed that we will send out in the next newsletter a flyer
that people can order a 48-gallon cart if they wish. So all the people that wish to order an initial 48-gallon cart will be able to order that by sitting, folding this over, putting a piece of tape on it and a stamp, sending it in to John. They will then get a 48-gallon cart. Everybody else will get a 96-gallon cart, and if they, in the future, after a month or so, if they want even a 48, because they didn't follow through on reading it or that, they still have an opportunity to get a 48. And as I understand it, even a person that requests a 48, if they find out that a 48 is too small, they'll swap out, and it will cost to them a 96. So everybody should get what they want.
All right, got a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes.
Roll call, please.
There's a request for a roll call vote.
Alderman Skowronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Let's see. Nuisances, Alderman Wilhelm.
Mayor and Police Chief and I met, and we already had discussed the possibility of the Police Chief looking at the ordinance. He had suggested looking at the City of Milwaukee ordinance. That's here for your reference. This is only a request to send this to the city attorney and the police chief to come back with a possible recommendation to the nuisance ordinance. I'll make a motion to direct the police chief and the city attorney to review the municipal code with regard to the regulation of nuisance premises and such regulations as may exist in other municipal codes, and to report back to the Common Council with a recommendation as to potential city legislation on the subject for further consideration and potential action by the Common Council.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion.
Mayor Taylor.
I support what this motion's about. We've had some difficult issues that I'm not going to get into the details of in certain aldermanic districts. Actually, I think it's in all. And had some meetings with our police chief, who I think is probably one of the best police chiefs around. And he suggested that maybe we'd like to take a look at what Milwaukee's doing in regards to, let's say, where you have individuals that they haven't created any, there's no criminal activity, but our police officers and our staff are having to make visits constantly and forever, and yet there's no cost being associated with that to the people that are causing the problems. My understanding is what he will bring back, Alderman Wilhelm, and correct me if I'm wrong, is an ordinance that's pretty similar to the Milwaukee ordinance, so that these types of individuals, if they want to continue their behavior, and our police officers are going to go there every day, there's going to be a rather substantial cost to them. And so I think it's a very good action, and I totally support what Alderman Wilhelm's trying to do.
I just have a question. If the city attorney believes that they might be able to bring this back by the next council meeting, because there was no date on my motion.
The city attorney?
That's why there was no date to try. What's going on?
A couple.
All right. Okay.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. For discussion, seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to licenses and permits. Alderman Solomon?
Schaefer, approve of the letter. Hall, approve. Andrew, approve. Billings, approve. Burnside, approve. Coyle, approve. Ellis, approve. Gatz, approve. Goudier, vote for appearance. Jones, approve. Fenoff, approve. Piet, approve. Kane, approve. Knights of Columbus, Trinity Council, extraordinary event, approve. Knights of Columbus, Trinity Council, approve. For temporary class beer. Daycare, Academy of Performing Arts, approved pending inspections. Franklin Lioness Club temporary Class B wine and beer approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you a listing of vouchers, numbers 143889 through 144055. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the payroll of August 10th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Wow, it's only 8:30.